Today we're going to look at what it means to have God as a refuge. It's something that I think all of us need to think about and think a little bit deeper about. And the emphasis that I want to place on it today is not so much knowing that place for you, but having a continuing, ongoing relationship with God so that you know that place well. Not so that it's a last-minute ditch effort to find a place of shelter. And I think that's what it is for so many of us. As I was sitting there thinking about some of the times that I have looked for shelter or needed shelter, whether it be out camping in the midst of a horrible rainstorm and really wanting something to find a place to get up underneath of because of a lightning storm or something like that. I remembered when my dad took us canoeing in the backwoods of Maine, me and about, I guess it was about five other boys and another gentleman, and we had a guide. And we were on a lake, and some of the lakes in the backwoods of Maine are quite large, not as large as some of the Great Lakes, but they are quite large. And a thunderstorm came up as we were crossing the lake. The lake was probably somewhere between a half a mile and a mile across. And as we were crossing the lake, a storm came up, and the next thing, we had swells on the lake of about 3 feet. And 3 feet while you're in a canoe is quite a bit. And all we wanted to do was get across the lake. That's all we wanted to do so that we could find a place to get out of the water. We had gotten caught out there. We thought we would make it across before the storm came because we were crossing the lake to visit a town on the other side, a town that the people only drive during the winter time. Because during the spring and the summer, the roads are so muddy, you can't use the roads. And they have to wait for the roads to freeze over before they can use them. What a concept. When it freezes around here, we're hoping we don't have to drive on the road. Up there, they can't wait for it to freeze so that they can drive on the roads. And everybody had not just a car or a truck or something of that nature, but everybody also had a boat that they could make it down the lake to where the grocery store was when the roads were not frozen. But I still remember looking at my dad, and Ronnie and I were sharing a canoe, and I remember looking at my dad and saying, "Can we go?" Because he was trying to hold us all together. And both Ronnie and I knew that we could paddle enough that we could skip across the top of the waves instead of up and down, up and down, up and down, which was not going so well for everybody. And finally my dad said, "Yes, let's see who can make it there first." And it was all in an attempt to find some shelter. It was all an attempt to find some refuge. We didn't know where we were headed other than we were going to this town across the lake. So we didn't know what we would find over there to get out of the midst of this storm. But it's really needed that oftentimes in our lives that we need a refuge. So first, listen to these words that come from Psalm 71, the first 8 verses. "In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me. For you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked and from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge, My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. There's a great number of passages in the book of Psalms that talk about refuge, that talk about a firm foundation, a rock upon which we can stand. I want to let you know, first off, that is greatly needed, because there will always be turmoil and struggles in the spiritual life. There will always be darkness and storms on the spiritual journey. Always. You can listen to some preachers, and they will tell you that if you come to Jesus, all your problems will disappear, and that you will be walking the most beautiful path the rest of your life, and you will be blessed over and above and beyond again and again and again. And matter of fact, God's going to bless you so much, send me some. Whoops. Isn't that what some of them say? If you'll just send me $100, God will bless you. No, God will make me, I'll be $100 cheaper, and you'll be blessed by $100. You see, there is what's called the gospel of prosperity that some of these people preach. Come to Jesus and your troubles disappear. Come to Jesus and you will be blessed beyond belief. I'm here to tell you today, that's not true. That is not true. There will be troubles. There will be difficulties on the spiritual journey. If nothing else, think of it this way. Satan knows, because you believe in Jesus Christ already, that you're going to heaven. Satan knows that. If Satan can keep you so wrapped up in the things of the world that you are not useful to the kingdom of God, then Satan will not lose other souls, because you won't be living the life that God's calling you to live. And you won't be sharing the gospel. And you won't be taking the opportunities that you have to help people step closer to God. So Satan's going to cause you some problems. And sometimes God's going to allow it to happen. I don't believe that God causes the problems and the struggles. My theology doesn't go in that direction. But I believe that God allows it to happen so that we might learn on our spiritual journey. God allows that to happen so that we might come to trust God more, that we might come to know God more. One of the people that I have studied for a number of years is called St. John of the Cross. He was a Carmelite monk, a priest, in the 1500s in Spain. And I continue to study his writings, and one of his writings is called The Dark Night of the Soul, where he talks about that sometimes this happens for us to grow deeper in our spiritual life. That there seems to be some kind of darkness that goes on. There seems to be something that distances us from God, not just our sin. And because of that, we grow in our relationship with God and we turn towards God. You see, there's always going to be darkness and there's always going to be storms. Having grown up on the Chesapeake Bay, I know that well. There's always going to be storms. Always. And we shouldn't expect anything different in our spiritual life. Now, when the storms come, when they happen, we need to know where we can turn for shelter. We need to know exactly where we can turn for shelter when the storms happen. Don't wait for the storm and then try to find shelter. That's how people get in trouble. You've got to plan ahead for the storm. Deanne will tell you there's one bad thing about me being an Eagle Scout. I'm always planning for when something might happen. The Boy Scouts taught me well, be prepared. That's the motto of the Boy Scouts. They taught me well, be prepared. And for 11 years of my life, I was part of Boy Scouts. And as I did that, it was always preparation for this and preparation for this, because this might happen and this might happen. You need to know where your shelter is before it happens. I've shared with some folks, I had a gentleman come to church at the last church that I was at for a while. And then he came to meet with me one day, and he explained to me that he couldn't come to the church where I served anymore. And I said, why not? And he looked at me and he said, because you don't preach the gospel. And I said, you're going to have to explain this to me a little bit more. What do you mean I don't preach the gospel? What are you talking about? And after probably about 15, 20 minutes, I finally got it out of him. And he told me, he says, you don't preach about hell every week. And you don't preach telling people what's going to happen to them if they don't make a commitment for Jesus Christ. And you don't share about hell all the time and how bad that's going to be. I took his words and I took the scriptures and I did some studies to find out that Jesus Christ very rarely spoke about hell. And a matter of fact, he did that in a roundabout way almost every time he did. It was not so right, straightforward, in your face as we call fire and brimstone preaching. He told me I wasn't doing fire and brimstone preaching, so he couldn't come to the church anymore. And after I spent some time looking into this and digging into it and what do the scriptures say about it and what can I understand there, I developed my philosophy of ministry from that. You see, I'm convinced that most people know that they need to find a shelter. I'm convinced they know that already. I'm convinced that they understand that they are sinners and that they have oftentimes gone the wrong way. And I'm not going to try to scare them away from the storm, because I think most people have enough sense to say, I'm going to get out of the storm. Most people have enough sense to say, I don't want to go to hell for eternity. I think most people have that sense. I want them to know what they're moving towards. That they are moving towards a God who loves them, a God that provides them a shelter, a God that wants a relationship with them. I'm not looking to scare them away from something, but let them know what they can go to, so that they can understand that here is a God whose arms are outreached, saying, if you will just turn back to me, I will love on you in incredible ways. I will provide a shelter, a refuge for you. There will be a place where you can stand and be safe in the storms and struggles of life. I will be there with you. I explained this to this gentleman, that I wasn't going to change the way I preached, because I was not looking to scare people away from hell, but I was looking to help them know what they were moving toward: a loving, caring, compassionate God. I don't deny the existence of hell. It exists. But I also don't believe it was prepared for people. Read the book of Revelation. Hell was prepared for Satan and his minions, not for people. Some people choose to make that their space to live for all eternity. I want to help them find the eternal home that God wants them to have, the refuge, the shelter that God wants for them, not scare them away from one place. I want them to know what they're moving towards. So we need to be, or excuse me, it should not be a last-ditch effort to go into the refuge. That should not be the last-ditch effort for what we do. I will admit there's times in my life where something has happened and I've got to find that refuge right now. I've got to find that shelter right now. But what I'm asking you to think about is not to use that as a plan Z when all your other plans don't work. Know about this refuge before you get there. What's part of this refuge? What's going on? We need to be fully aware of where we're turning for refuge. My hope and my desire is that I can walk close enough with God that when I get to heaven, there's no surprises about God. That I understand God and that I know God. That's my hope and desire. Now, I want to be real with you. I'm never going to be able to accomplish that until I get to heaven and see God. But my hope and my desire is that I learn everything I can about God as I'm walking here. I want to be open to learning from God. I want to be open to what God shows me. Number of times in the scriptures, God says, I am doing something new. That means it's something that's never been done before. And if God's about doing something new, I want to learn that new. Not the way that I've been used to my whole life, but what that new thing is that God's doing. I want to learn all of this that I can. I want to know that when I go to the refuge, that there's a nice lazy boy right here that's just as comfortable as can be. I've got one at home that I don't even know how old it is. It's probably close to 25 years old. I've tried to replace that lazy boy I don't know how many times because it's a little worn. And sometimes I think Deanne wishes I would replace it because the hands are warm or the arm rest and they're kind of threadbare. I hope I can take that lazy boy to heaven with me. It's comfortable. It fits just right. It's just, matter of fact, the cat and I fight over it now. Come about 1 p.m, that's where she likes to take her afternoon nap. And if I'm home on a Saturday or a Sunday, she'll come in the room and look at me and go, hey, and walk out of the room. And then 10 minutes later, she comes back and says, are you not out of the chair yet? And she just starts pouting because I'm sitting in her chair. Hey, this chair is older than you, Kat. I mean, it's not your chair. And so I move to the daybed to read my book or play my video game and let her have the chair. That's the truth. But you see, I want to know what the refuge that God has planned is like before I get there. I want to know it well enough that when I need to move to the refuge, that it is comfortable, that it is nice, that it is wonderful, and that I know where to find things in the midst of the refuge, not as a last-ditch effort. Not as a last-ditch effort. God is our only true refuge. That we should know at all times. God is our only true refuge. And there are so many people in this world that don't know God as a refuge. There are so many people that don't know God as a refuge. And as a pastor, the thing that makes me even sadder is that there are people that have been a part of churches for years and they don't know God as a refuge. They know it as a possible last-minute ditch effort to get out of something. not as a refuge that they're fully aware of all the time. And I can tell who those people are, because when a tense situation happens, when something happens in a horrible way, they don't know where to turn. And they come and they say, "Pastor, I don't know what to do now." And sometimes I might say, "Have you prayed about it?" "Oh, that's a good idea." "Yeah, it is a good idea, isn't it?" "Have you gone to the Scriptures and taken some time to see what comfort God wants to bring you from the Scriptures?" And then the next question they ask me is, "What Scriptures should I turn to?" And I help them with that, but sometimes I want to say, "You mean you've been in church that long and you don't know which Scriptures to turn to?" You don't know where to find comfort in the Scriptures? Tells me you might not open it very often. You might not read it very often. And to me, that is much sadder than somebody who is completely lost. Because these people have been in church taking this in, but not holding on to it in such a way that they know what the refuge looks like, and they know how to move there, and they know how to find that place. And I know, because I've done it, people have said, "One of these days, when I have time, I'll do it. One of these days, I'll spend more time in my Scriptures. One of these days, I'll spend more time in prayer. One of these days, I'll be more active in church. Right now, I got my kids to raise. Right now, I've got to work this job and this job. Right now, I got to do this. I just got into a new relationship with somebody else, and I just met some, and there's somebody in my family that needs help." Folks, you need to know the refuge now. You need to know the solid rock you can stand on now. I've told you before, I didn't grow up in church. I didn't have that benefit. My parents still don't go to church. 22 years of ministry, I don't think they've heard me preach 5 times. For a lot of folks, it's always one day. Well, I'm here to tell you, today's the day to get to know the refuge. Found a quote the other day, and I can't remember who it was by, Victor somebody. So we just thank God for Victor right now. "Procrastination is the assassin of opportunity." Procrastination is the assassin of opportunity. If you don't know the refuge, if you don't have a relationship with God in such a way that you know the place of comfort prior to the storm, today's the day to do something different about that. Today's the day to do something different about that. Not to procrastinate and say you're going to do it on another day. That'll just be like exercise and workout programs, right? Next week, I'm going to start eating right. Next week, I'm going to start exercising more. Next week is the death of a lot of people. Whether it be physically, emotionally, or spiritually, starting a sentence with "next week" is the death of a lot of people. Do you know this refuge? So I leave you with this question. Is your relationship with God such that you know the place of comfort prior to the storm? Is your relationship with God such that you know the place of comfort prior to the storm? If not, today's the day to do something about that. Whether you have not walked with Jesus yet, or whether you need to recommit yourself, or whether you need to take another step in your spiritual journey right now, today's the day to make that a difference. Let's pray. God, we come before you because we truly need you. We need your help. We need your ability for us to be able to say, Lord, I want to know you better. I want to know this place of refuge, this place of shelter that we can go to. I want to know it well enough that when I have to take an opportunity to get out of the storm, that I know where the comfortable spot is, and that I feel very close to you, waiting out the storm. Lord, guide us to take the step we need to take. Give us the boldness and the courage to admit it to ourselves and to share it with others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.